we move past the sleepless nights and mindless confusion that can often accompany this type of abuse? And will the pain ever go away? These questions are asked by every survivor. And if you are one of those, we're going to find some answers for you today. My name is Tracy Malone, and I am the founder of NarcissistAbuseSupport.com. I am an educator, and I am a coach, and I help people just like you figure out what they need to do to move past this and start to heal. My guest today, some of you might know her, Nancy, I'm going to screw this up, Sung-Young. Tell me if I did that right, Nancy. She is a coach, she is an author, and she is also a fellow YouTuber. And today we're going to talk about the destructive things that people do that keep them in that cycle of not being able to heal. We're also going to talk about what should you be doing, the expert advice from people who have come through the darkness to the light and can give you the hope and some resources and maybe some new tools to think of things a different way. So without any further ado, let's welcome Nancy.
Hi, Tracy. Thank you for having me.
It is such an honor to have you to talk about this topic today. We would like to talk with everybody about the difficulties and the destructive things that people do that stop them from healing. So do you want to start us off with something that you have seen that makes it difficult for people to be able to heal?
Well, one of the things that I notice, and it's really, really prominent, is just the mindset, you know, mindset of a person, the way they hold view about the world in relation to themselves. And so, and, you know, rightfully so, I think the reason why they have the mindset that I'm talking about is, you know, victim mindset. And I think it comes from a legitimate place. You know, they likely they've been through child abuse. I think that's sort of the most common thing. And so they were victimized at one time. And as they grew older, they just kind of held on to that as their kind of an identity. That's even why people who've been abused tend to, or neglected, tend to attract that kind of relationship when they get older. And I mean, it's also kind of complex, there's more to that, but then when they are, you know, in one of those relationships and, you know, or when they get out, they have a hard time healing because they think of themselves from that perspective of being a victim. So if you know, I mean, I look at like those hero stories, like, and it's so similar, like those, you know, superhero stories, where if you look, the heroes usually are, you know, go through all kinds of actually horrible stuff, but they're just busy just taking care of things. And, you know, they know they have the strength, they know that that's their sort of identity, is to, you know, solve things and, you know, resolve things. But the victims, their job is to get rescued. You know, and so, and I'm probably simplifying that too, but that being a victim, you're waiting for someone to rescue you. So even when you leave someone, you know, who was abusive, your sort of mindset is that way. So that means you indulge in that, you know, I hate to call it indulging, because at first you do need to talk and share and get feedback and get support. But what I find people doing is they just stay there, and then they group up with people, you know, who are in the similar state, and they constantly focus on, you know, what happened in the past, why they are, you know, what they are. I mean, I hear common questions like, how could he do that? How could she do that? You know, God, can you believe they just like went and found another lover? You know, or it's just the constant, you know, can you believe they don't have any empathy? You know, every time I hear them say things like, can you believe they don't have any empathy? They don't feel sorry. You know, you think like, yes, of course. So, you know, that's who they are. And at first it's good to learn that these people have these characteristics. It's really helpful. But after a while, you have to just kind of put it in a box, you know, like, that's who they are now. I have to look out for myself. But it's like they are not looking out for themselves. They did the good thing of leaving. That was great. But then they are then, in a way, taking over the abuser's job by constantly regurgitating and talking about and focusing on all of these things that really makes them relive, you know, those moments.
Right.
And so they just, yeah.
I think what you're talking about too is something I see all the time.
Yeah.
Is that you are living in the past.
Yes.
Instead of today. And yeah. To know that, you know, a technique is to say, I'm safe here right now. And what happened yesterday? You can't change what happened yesterday. Repeating that he had no empathy 100 times is not going to change him.
Yeah, yeah.
Not having empathy. And it's not like it's a new thing. When you first learn, oh my God, they don't ever have empathy.
Yeah.
Then share it a bunch of times. Share it. Get it out there. Learn about it. Research it. But then accept it. Yeah, he didn't have any empathy. What a jerk, right? If you take that instead of going back to the past, and you're always going to live back there, and
yeah.
We can't heal if we're in bad land, right? We're in the past, and all that stuff isn't happening right now. Right now, you're not dealing with that. You're understanding that. That's completely different, right? But when you're living back there and you're constantly, you know, I have people that are friends of mine because I have so many friends in my support groups and through this world that just go, you know, blah, 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 blah. And my wife does this all the time. No, she doesn't. She did it all the time. And if she does it now, you shouldn't give a crap. It's so important to understand the difference. And you, as you said, you have to get to that recovery point. And then you have the power to go on to the other place. If you don't understand it, you're never going to move on. So get the education, get that. But then once you get it, stop watching videos on narcissists and start to watch videos on healing and start to watch things and read books that are going to take you into the present, because yesterday didn't have self-help books. We didn't learn about gratitude and forgiveness and all of the other things, the shame, the this, the that, all of the things. As we learn about that's in the past now, and we can move on because we're building a new life. This day means build tomorrow. If this day is still occupied with yesterday, how do we heal?
I think that there's, you know, the part that I see too is that people who are in this realm, and I really think it has a lot to do with having been neglected and having been not properly loved as children. And so they, you know, there's sort of their barometer, or, you know, their like temperature gauge for their lives is not that high, you know, so their expectation of what's normal, what should be normal, isn't that high. It's kind of a level of hopelessness. And so then, you know, they don't have the, I think they lack the instinct of like, you know, like, I want to be happy. You know, I want to be happy. I want to thrive. I want to do something really cool with my life. And it's like, that's just not even within there. You know, I mean, like, there has to be some inspiration for growth and from reaching for that's also that inspires you to heal. And I really think that a lot of these people, that also affects them too. It's maybe, I don't know if you want to call that negative mindset, but it's sort of like they don't know that they have the right to fight for themselves, that they don't have the right to. It feels that way. It feels like, you know, because a person who thinks that it's like, I have a right to live a good life, I have a right to live a happy life, you know. But if you don't, you're just sitting there at the bottom, like trying to like crawl out. Instead of like crawling, maybe you could run and fly, you know, whatever, you know. I really, like, I think there's that too, sort of, And I think that's why they like sit in that realm of, you know, I mean, like, 'cause you don't see, I don't know. I don't know all the, like, the life paths of these people, but I don't see inspiration. I don't see, you know, like, you know, what can I do to, you know, make my mark? You know, I see them just sort of in this survival mode. And that's sad too, because it's human potential, you know, but like, and so then they just live in the past and they live in the, you know, and they don't even realize. Here's the thing that's really scary is because I've, you know, I've talked to some of these people where they say, well, but he did this to me. It's like, yeah, that was, so that was 15 years ago. He did that to you 15 years ago, you know? And it's like, yeah, but he did, you know, he did such a terrible thing to me. I can't, but they, it's like psychologically, they got it linked because, you know, you keep thinking about those moments. And then of course, in your head, you think about their face, you think about them and that thing. So then it's immediately linked. So it's, they don't realize they're actually being illogical because, you know, they think it's that person's fault. And it's so real. It's how human minds work. You know, we get things linked, you know, and that becomes reality. But if you could, and I'm yet to figure out how to explain step by step, like, look, you know, that happened then. Now who's doing the thinking? You know, who's doing the remembering? Who is, you know, living those moments? You. That's what they have to realize, is that they're in charge now.
Exactly.
You know?
I have a workshop that I do. I did it last week at my support group, and I'm doing it next week for my support group, but it's online too. And yeah, it's about changing the story that's in our head.
Yes.
Because that story, like you were just describing, is literally from the past, right? But every time we bring it up, it puts us back in victim.
Yeah.
It makes us vulnerable. It makes us injure ourselves. I mean, really.
Yeah.
We hear it, we go into, ooh, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
That, right. If you can change the story that you're telling yourself and simplify the story to, you know, remove all the emotion from it.
Yeah.
It's almost like a business transaction. And I use this example in the beginning of the course, is we all have a scar on our body. You know, you got a cut here, you fell out of a tree, you broke your arm, right? If you were to tell the story and you broke your arm yesterday, you might get on here and go, oh my God, I fell out of the tree and my shoe got stuck in the crack. And then I had to go buy ambulance. I remember, you know, and that's full of emotion, right?
Yeah.
And that's where they get stuck. Now, if you look back at that tree and I fell out of the tree when I was 10, we're probably shortening that story to, I fell out of the tree when I was 10, broke my arm, end of story, right?
Yeah.
That's the difference. And that's where we have to take the story from all that was done to you. We're not discrediting what happened. We're not discrediting what a jerk he or she was, but we're just not going to live in that place anymore. Because that place is scary and dark and it hurts us and it scares our friends. I mean, if you think about the people who are stuck in this hamster wheel of story, they're going around and around and their friends and family are scared to talk to them.
Yeah.
They're isolating themselves because their friends don't want to hear it. They're just like, oh God, she's coming over. She's going to tell me about what her ex-husband did again. I've heard the story 80 times. And then they stop calling you because they don't know how to help you. So your story is a big part of this. We tell it to ourselves and we tell it to others, but it also, that story attracts the wrong kind of people.
Exactly.
It repels a healthy person. If they hear that, it doesn't matter if it was 14 years ago and you're still talking about it.
Yeah.
It's showing them that you haven't healed. Now, if you tell that same story to an abuser, a cluster B, anything in there, a narcissist, anybody, they're going to hear that and go, you know, I see opportunity.
You're a candidate.
Exactly. We have to learn to change this stuff. And you know, I think a big part of it is first of all, of course, going no contact. People don't, you know, they don't really understand it. of like the whole concept. There's like no contact. Okay, I won't see them. But that doesn't mean that you're not connected by text. And people that are in this perpetual hamster wheel are constantly looking at their texts. Well, it was my birthday and he didn't text. Or, you know, you're happy if they text and you're sad that they text because it opens the new wound again, right?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times I find people have things that besides just cutting off the social, stopping it, it hurts so much to let go and just say they're dead to me, because in no contact, they have to be dead to you. That means there's no way you can even hope that they might reach out to you. And so when you have that, that's where you can really start your healing process. But sometimes people have unfinished business. Like you might still have their TV at your house. And you know, well, he's going to call me. That's why I've got my phone out. He's going to want his TV soon, you know, and you hold on to the TV almost as hostage. Get them back. Yeah. Have you ever had anyone have that sort of thing where there's unfinished business that they might have to come back for?
You know, I mean, I think, well, so the no contact, I see that more as, you know, because when we were in that relationship, you know, because I've been in one of those and I think you have too, there's kind of, it's almost like a drug addiction. I really think there is a chemical thing where chemically addicted. And so, you know, what do you do when you're trying to get off drugs? I mean, and thank God I've never had drug issue, but you just, you know, you have to spend that time. You have to just stay away from it to get off that drug addiction, right? That addiction. But then I think also, that has to be coupled with self-work and, you know, to, I think that they have to actively do work to grow in their self-love and self-care. Because, you know, as you're doing no contact, if you think about like, you know, holding things on, or holding on to things or wanting to contact them, in some ways, it's sort of, to me, a symptom of lack of, you know, lack of sense of self. I mean, it was lack of sense of self that kept us in that relationship, or even was made us drawn to them, or they were drawn to us, you know, that kind of thing. So I really do think that there has to be active, I mean, really assertive work, you know, self-work, like actually like actively doing it, you know, whether it's get into, you know. And I mean, of course, that's what I did. I did an extreme, like a boot camp, and really just, you know, then I had so much pride for my own work that even though I missed him like crazy, I didn't, like, there's no way I want to talk to him. I'm like, screw you, you know, like you did that to me. But even, you know, so it's like, even though I had the feelings, you know, and heartbreak, it's sort of because I was like actively doing things, you know, like I had a regimen of like, you know, routine. I really actively did that. And I think that assertive sort of, you know, when you take action like that, you actually kind of grab strength. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what victim of abusive relationships and narcissistic relationships, I think people who are in that role, that's what they lack, is that sort of sense of self and knowing that you have strength and power that you can access because they're not used to having done it. And so I think that needs to be coupled, you know. And I know it's a little bit weird, kind of foreign to say, but it's so helpful to just get into sort of, you know, discipline regimen, because yeah. You know, human beings are, we're kind of like, I think when there's a empty space, or I can't think of the word, but when there's a space open, something has to be there, makes it easier, and you're, you know, and it's good anyway, and it's healthy. So like, I really believe that you need to immediately attack that lack of sense, you know, self-appreciation, self-love, you know, that needs to be immediately attacked. Otherwise you're vulnerable to going back. I mean, there's like statistics of like, I think, abuse victims, you know, seven, yeah, right? And like, because, you know, they miss them, you know, they, you know, and they feel powerless without them. You know what's interesting? I think about how I got into this role with my ex. I think about how, you know, he started with just small control, and then it kind of, and like before I knew it, I was already like, but when you are, when you, of course I was candidate for that, but you know, but like, if I think about how slowly you just become smaller and smaller and smaller, and then as you become smaller, they become even bigger because, and then as they treat you worse and worse and worse, you feel like you need them more and more and more, you know, because you're so small. And by the time, you know, they're done with you, you're like so tiny, like you're nothing without them. So, you know, when you, God, you know, it takes courage to, I would have to say, for them to leave, it takes courage, but then, you know, it's like they go back. So I think that they have to immediately start work at building themselves, gaining confidence, finding their path, finding their voice, finding, you know, passion, things that they could be excited about, you know.
Also remembering who they were.
So yeah.
Many victims come and go, I don't know who I am anymore, because they made them that tiny, like you were just saying.
Yeah.
You know, and you've lost everything that was your passion. You might have lost your friends. And now what am
I doing?
All I have. All I have. I don't know what else to do.
Yeah.
And yes, people go into counseling, which is brilliant. Go in, get some counseling, get some coaching, talk to someone that really understands this. But there's a lot of things that the people who are stuck in that hamster wheel are often the ones that can't afford a counselor and can't afford to pay someone to do that. And so they feel like they're sort of abandoned to any kind of help. Nobody wants to help me. I mean, that's further victimizing themselves.
Yeah.
All you have to do is go to the library and take a book, or ask the library to get a book that you might need, right?
Yeah.
So knowing that there's these things and doing that work, if only that, get into the support groups. You know, I'm a big proponent of support groups all over the country. There are out there, and getting into one that isn't just a bitch session.
Yes.
Goes, you know, I can heal. What is a boundary? I'm not good at that. You know, learn how to do it, or buy a book. There's probably 5 boundary books up on that shelf.
Yeah.
Every single one of them is different. Everything that I have learned, everything that I have conquered and learned to my own development, was not just go buy 1 book on forgiveness, but 4 books on this, 4 books on that, because it's so different. And you go, this part works for me. That looks like me. But the rest doesn't, but this one, oh my God, there's 3 things. And then all of a sudden you have done the work to understand that wound. We come into this like relationship, or even if it's their parent, right? It's their parent, and they have had a relationship with their parent. They come into this and they get wounded. So how do we figure out what the wound is? That's where a coach and a counselor helps you and goes, you know, you've got this abandonment thing that wasn't just about this ex relationship, but that goes back a little bit farther. How do you deal with something like that? And I brought props.
Okay.
This one is the Abandonment Recovery Workbook. Seriously, look how thick this thing is. it helps you do the work. If you say to yourself, I'm going to go buy that book, and every morning while I drink my cup of coffee, I'm going to do a couple of pages. There are things that you physically write in the book, like you were in high school or something, and maybe there's grammar school where you had little boxes, right? But you're writing it and you're thinking things that you didn't think before. And answers come to you when you think things differently.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. So
there's self-esteem workbook. This is a great book on understanding your self-esteem, understanding, you know, conquering your fears and your self-doubt and, these behaviors that you're doing to yourself that are re-injuring you, like we started at the beginning of the conversation. So there's so much help with everything that don't heal. Go to the library, go to my website. I have a list of the very best of those books. If I read 4 of these, that's the one I want you to get, because that's going to help you the most. Just see what other people are suggesting and go, I want to learn about that. I want to learn about that. And like you said, if your brain in today starts to go, I'm going to recover, I'm going to recover, you stop forgetting about what he or she did. All of that becomes, I don't really care. I have a quote that I have out there that there's a lot of life after I don't give a shit. And that is what we have to do, because if we hold on to that yesterday, we hold on to that, we are in a very bad position because we can't move forward. We are living in the past. So to start living today, start to do the work and figure out what your wounds were. Because going into another relationship, if you still have an abandonment wound, now you've got it triple packed because someone just abandoned you again.
Yeah.
You're going to set yourself up for someone that is going to abandon you. If you've got strong boundaries and you know that that abandonment wound was from your childhood and you work it through, you can recognize it and prevent it from happening again.
Yeah. And it's interesting, sort of on an energetic level, when you have, there's a couple of things, like on an energetic level, when you hold that sort of fear of abandonment, you know, it's a miserable way to be in a relationship. Even if you have a relationship with someone healthy, you know, you're going to put a lot on them. But the other thing is, in terms of like, whether it's abandonment, whatever's happened with your parents or with lovers, you know, like we were talking, I think before our video, we're talking about people needing to get closure. And, you know, one of the things that I think is that you can just, you know, and you were talking about in your workshop, you talk about retelling the story, or I forget how you said it, create, you know, and you come up with your own story. And you can actually do it in a way that, you know, like my favorite way to do that is sort of, in a way, use a Socratic method, because then when you do that, you believe it. So like you, instead of just like making up a story and saying, boom, that's what it is, because I think we do need to put things into a category. And then when we make a decision, like this is what that means, then we could let it go. I think when we stay in a limbo is when we can't let it go. So what we could do is ask a question. And somewhat kind of a spiritual question, but you could actually ask, there's several different questions you could ask. You could say, you know, what am I supposed to learn from this? Is there something I can learn from this experience? You know, like instead of why did this happen to me, you could say, what could I learn from this? Or, you know, what was lacking in my life? Or is this a job I've been given, you know, sort of from universe? Like, you know, is this my journey? I mean, there's so many like sort of ways of asking questions that lands you a productive answer and that lands you a beautiful answer. And, you know, and I mean, in my experience, that's always been the case, you know, pretty much like anytime anything negative happens, whether it's lovers or anything like business, anything, if somebody does something wrong, whatever, you know, like I've gotten into a habit of asking like, okay, what can I learn from this thing that's going on? I sort of, you know, when you have the attitude of like, this is a gift, you know, this is gift for me to gain some strength, or, and when you constantly look at it that way, you know, that not only, you know, makes you a participant in a better bettering our world, our community, our, you know, but it also makes you happier, and it ends up, you end up gaining in a way that you didn't imagine, you know? I mean, I think then you that answer is, you know, like I think about like, okay, you know, why was my ex in my life? You know, I mean, I actually, like for me, and that's like what I addressed in my book is, that was the most scariest thing, being abandoned. You know, I lost my mom, I lost my whole family when I was 3. And then I was adopted by a family that was, both people pretty much, I think, displaying a lot of narcissistic qualities, just lacking of empathy and really abusive. So I had like abandonment issue that I didn't quite understand. So I was always afraid, you know, like I was always afraid of being left. And that was probably one of the most scariest thing in my life. So when my ex, my last ex, he just abruptly just kicked me out. And that was probably the worst. I've never had that happen to me. So, and of course it was a bad relationship. He was emotionally abandoning the whole time anyway. But the thing is, like, I look at, like, that happened. My biggest fear happened, being abandoned, kicked out, no place to go. And I had to, like, you know, for a few hours I was homeless. I mean, that's a dumb thing to say because I could go to my family. But anyway, so, you know, that's not technically.
That's a story you're telling. Huh? That's the story you're telling.
But, yeah, but. But anyway, no, but like, I was like, where am I going to go? I had to call my parents, my folks. And so, but anyways, but because that actually happened, something that I've always feared happened, it actually then pushed me into, and because of all the bad things that I dealt with him, and he was the worst. And I think about like, how is it I'm a person who's been growing, and then here suddenly I have this like the worst relationship. Narcissist. I've never, you know, so, but that actually prompted me to, it really inspired me to look at my childhood in the way that I never have. I mean, like, I actually got to deal with that thing that I was afraid of all my life. So, you know, like, so I look at it like, honestly, like, I feel empathy for how unhappy he is. Because I gained this incredible answer. Mm-hmm. Like that if I never met him, I wouldn't have been pushed so hard. I wouldn't have, if that relationship wasn't as horrible as it was, mm-hmm. I wouldn't have, it almost just like, I almost felt like, you know, glass, you know, I've been cleaning this glass, this is my life. There's like, and I literally pictured this glass with just the last layer of little dust left over and he shook it. You know, or being in that relationship, it really shook my life to a point where I really had to face everything.
Yeah. And the same thing for me too. I mean, yeah. I didn't own a self-help book in my life.
Yeah.
You know, I thought I had self-love. I got my nails done. I colored my hair. That was self-love. You know, it was to learn that self-love is not just taking care of yourself. Obviously, taking care of yourself is really important.
Yeah.
Self-love means, no, that is not acceptable. And kicking them out when people show signs, you know, that's the courage to be brave and fight for your own life versus being turned down to a teeny little person because of constant and constant abuse. I started a course about 3 weeks ago. So we just had week three, and it's called the Course of Miracles. Have you ever heard of it?
Yes.
Uh-huh. So the whole premise behind it is to help me see things differently. So to me, it's how they say, talking about, instead of living out of fear, live out of love. So see things from a different lens, which is when we heal, we start to see things through a different lens, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That past stuff, that she did, he did stuff. Yeah, they did it. And I don't care. I'm moving on.
Yeah.
That's where you want to get. And I think it's important for everyone to find their journey, find your wounds, and then start to heal that and make that your priority. Forget about like worrying about, will I ever date again? Will I be alone for the rest of my life? Stop worrying about that, or you will be, because you're gonna never heal. Focus in on, I don't wanna feel this way anymore. What do I need to do? What book should I read? Where should I go next? What should I go? And just play along with your life, but live it today, not yesterday. And when we have that power to use our words, like you're saying, to think about how we're doing it, to reframe things, to heal those wounds, we will be healed. And I think that's really important for people. Do you have any closing things you want to say?
Well, maybe this is next time, but I actually was curious about how you other than the book, what instigated you to like say, I'm going to heal instead of being a victim?
Where's my other book? I have a book up. Wait, where's the book? Oh no. Where is it? So, oh, it's holding up my camera. Dang. We Ooh, that was the perfect height. All right. So I am a big proponent of going to thrift stores to find books on Saturday. They're a dollar. So I buy all these books and I bring them to my support group. So I found this one that is called A Year Without Fear. And it was actually a week or so after I had just given a lesson on fear and how to face it and how to do things like that. And then this book showed up. And to me, when I look at going to the thrift store for a book, I think they find me, right? I'm not searching for something, but
what I love that. Yeah. Right?
And so this book, I bought it for a dollar. It's 365 days of these little affirmation-esque things, but these little stories. And
yeah,
I started it in July and I had a client and I was finishing up with her. She just finalized her divorce. And I said, I'm going to send it to her because it's so powerful. And I've been in love with it. So I go on to Amazon, I click on it and I'm like, I bought it. And then I was like, let me look at this author. And I went to her website and she lived here in Denver. And I went,
Wow.
She was about to give in less than 4 days The Course in Miracles. And I went, I don't even know enough about it. I'd never actually touched the book before. I was like, I want a miracle and I want to understand this. Another healing modality I'm in. And so I called three of my friends from a support group and now all four of us are going. So it has been an amazing gift. This woman's been teaching it for 28 years. Wow. But she's written five other books. So now I have those five on my coffee table. It's all about healing. It's about letting go of that fear. And it's about helping you to see things differently. And my mother was also a narcissist. And this week people were just going around the room. Everybody had different things, whoever wanted to share, and mothers came into it somehow. And there was always something that was part of the story of my mother always had these other daughters, like, and she would flop them in our face and say, you know, oh, I just spent 4 hours shopping for this special thing for Susie. I think she'll just love it. And me and my sisters would go, we get a $50 check, which I'm not being ungrateful for, but why didn't you ever shop for the perfect thing for us, right? Hurt by it. And this thing was always a, you know, the story was that she was doing this to us. And in the Course of Miracles the other night, because of all this banter of all the other people and the lady leading it, I saw it a different way. And I saw that she was 2,000 miles from her daughters. And she was sort of telling us, I have a friend. Someone cares about me. Because but we were taking it as this affront of you know, that's our story. And that is one of the miracles. And they were like, that's what it's all about. It's to see things differently. Because with that, I could let go of some of the anger and the hurt of what she did. And so as you start to develop this things start coming up. So that was my Course of Miracles miracle for the week. I got another 5 weeks to keep on learning. And
that's amazing. That's beautiful.
Yeah. So I think it'll help. And again, I am 7 years out of my divorce and now about to be 4 years out of the end of the jerk head.
The boyfriend.
Yeah. You know, do I need to keep going and looking at courses? Do I keep needing to do these things? Yes. Right? Am I ever completely healed? Maybe. But the more work we do, the more we see things from a different perspective and we become wholer and wholer. And that's what I want to know, that these things that we do are going to heal us no matter what it is.
You know,
going to a support group is a step in the right direction. You know, picking up a book, another step in the right direction. So don't give up hope and don't think, or a therapist, I can't heal and get stuck in the hamster wheel of watching YouTube videos, except for mine, all weekend.
That's right.
Just just, you know, go, what else do I need to know? Turn on a TED Talk, go watch Brené Brown, you know, fill your heart with that kind of stuff. Learn strength, learn vulnerabilities. And those are things that you might not have understood before. So it makes you stronger.
Yeah, it's definitely an opportunity to grow.
Yeah, it is. I love what you said. I think I wrote it down about like looking at this as a gift because, you know, if I had not been arrested by 3X, I would have never picked up a book on gaslighting, which someone said, he's gaslighting you, look it up.
Yeah.
Rabbit hole, narcissist, oh my God, mother, father, sister, oh wow.
Yeah.
You know, that was a gift. Had I not had that horrible thing happen, I would not be where I am today and changing other people's lives as well as my own every day.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think about even just some of the silly things that I've never, it's like that relationship has really caused me to do things I've never done before. You know, I'm sort of like, it has really inspired me to like, I'm doing so many things that I've never done before. And it's just, you know, so, you know, it's what you decide. It's what you decide, you know, every person, it's what you decide to do with every conflict, you know, and I think that maybe if I could say one more thing is to see things in perspective too, because I, you know, there was a time when I used to think like, why is this happening to me? Why does this keep happening to me? You know, that, but that's actually a skewed perspective of us becoming very, very small. When we could realize that really conflicts happens, challenges happens, pains happens, good things happens, all in sort of balanced volume to everybody. You know, we forget that when we grew up as victims of, you know, usually like childhood, then we forget that really there's negatives in everyone's lives. You know, we tend to kind of become very, you know, like being a small world. So we need to break out of that and, you know, see things for the way they really are, which is everyone deals with lots of different conflicts. And most people, I think, are not taught, you know, whether it's our society, we're not taught to actually think big and think like, what can you do? How could you, you know, how could you be part of, you know, one of the crews of painting the world, you know, I mean, whatever it is, like, you know, so we're very small. We learn to be small. And then, so then all the bad things that happens just feel so huge, you know? Mm-hmm. And like reality is that, you know, it happens to everybody in, you know, different things for us, narcissism and abuse for other people, maybe it's other things, you know, then, you know, we just have to like be the heroes, shake it off. And you know, solve that issue.
It all back together to the.
Yay! in it.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Nancy. I know that our conversation will help a lot of people, give them some ideas, new perspectives, a new way of looking at things, because that's what it's going to take. We can't look backwards. We do have to go forward. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I hope that you found something valuable in that. Nancy's a very smart lady. And we talked before the show, we talked after the show. And it's so exciting to meet someone with so much passion to want to help people. So thank you for joining me, Nancy. And if you are looking for more understanding, maybe you're looking for a support group or looking for what book to read, as I've just discussed, visit my website. It's narcissistabusesupport.com. We've got lots of stuff out there for you, as well as that course that I was talking about called Change the Story. It will change the way you think about things. So thank you for joining me and have a nice day.